Welcome to episode 61 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is a review show that reviews anime from A to Z. Sort of.
All right, guys. So last episode, I picked, because I had to pick, Attack on Titan. I've seen the first season and a half, and then we watched all three seasons for this. So the first season and a half, I had to rewatch. But I enjoyed it. It is a manga series written and illustrated both by Hajime Isayama, I believe. I don't know when the anime came out. I don't see it now. It came out like 2016 or something like that. It's not actually written. Look at that.
It should be in the sidebar over there. But,
original run 2009. That makes sense.
Yeah, there you go.
Really?
No, that's the manga.
Really early.
That's the manga. Go down to
the anime.
Yeah, we're doing the anime. Seasons 1 and 2.
I don't really
April
care.
7,
2013. That makes more sense.
And the manga came out in 2009.
Yeah. So, it's three seasons, and each season has its own, like, big plot and everything. So I'm not quite sure how we should do this one.
How about you start with a premise?
Humanity is stuck behind walls. These big circle walls. Think, Israel, right? Except there's one big wall surrounding them, and then there's two other walls like you're falling back behind another wall. So there's three barriers.
Each has its own name.
Yeah.
Maria.
Maria
something.
And two others. Who the heck knows? Rose. So Maria, Rose, and then the other one. I don't remember that one.
It's like Sienna or something like
that. Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, so humanity's stuck behind these walls, and they can actually get out of them. They have doors they can open up that go up and down, and they can go in and out, but they really don't. The only people that do it are one of the three military branches. So there's the military police, there's the scouts, they're the ones that go outside. Military police just kind of guard the capital and investigate stuff. And then there's the other one that guard the walls.
Right.
I forget their name. So like, if anyone's attacking the wall for any reason or whatever, they take care of it. They're really just glorified guards. They don't do shit.
Well, the police are glorified guards. They just pretty much patrol the streets.
Yeah. And then the guard ones for the walls are a little lower than that, but they're still glorified police.
But they're glorified police until, you know, things start happening.
Yeah. And which happens in the first episode.
And then the scouts are the ones that take most of the risks.
Yeah, they're even the ones going outside the wall, and, you know, 90% of them get decimated every time they go out.
And they're hated for some reason.
Well, they're hated because they're constantly doing these missions, and I think you're on, like, the 56th or 55th mission when the anime starts. And each mission, almost everyone dies, and they get almost no intel. So all these people are dying, all these family and loved ones are dying, and for nothing. But they keep doing it. So it kind of makes sense as to why they're being some animosity there between the public and
but even the other branches of the military hate them.
Well, they think they're better than everyone else because they're trying to do something, whereas the other two branches are just sitting on their ass doing jack shit.
I guess.
Playing poker and getting drunk, which they show multiple times.
You didn't even get into the point of the show yet.
I'm trying to, but you're asking questions and so I'm explaining things. So, they're stuck behind these walls and they don't really know why, but they know it's to protect them from Titans. There's these titans that range from, I think, 3 or 4 meters to 80 meters or something like that.
Right.
There's an upper limit where they're, like, the size of, like, a 5-story building. They don't really get much taller than that until the anime starts.
Right.
And then they're like, oh my god, that one's the biggest one I've seen. You know what I mean?
They're creepy human-looking things with that smile.
Yeah.
They're really creepy.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, but still.
They explain a bunch of things throughout, like, you don't know what the reason for being is, you find out much later on. The scouts do figure something out before any of that. Like, they eat people and that's their reason for living, but they don't need it for sustenance, so when they get full they throw it up and then they just continue eating.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... And then it's...
They heal. The only way to kill them is to take their swords and to cut them in the back of the neck to sever their brain stem.
Yeah, I guess.
So they can't... I think that's what it was. So they can't... their healing comes from their brain, I think. So right. If it's severed, it can't heal. Maybe it's not from their brain because their heads have been knocked off before.
Yeah, but...
Maybe the healing comes from that specific part back there on the neck.
No, it was explained that when they cut off their heads and stuff like that, they can...
They can regrow their head with the next amount
But they
of
can push down the regenerative...
Well, that's for the human titans.
Oh.
Which we're going to get to in a bit.
Wait,
but even for the regular titans that people can't transform into.
But they usually die when they cut
They usually do, but they said that they can grow back.
Oh, I didn't catch
It's not one. Something that's really shown in the anime, but they said it in one of the episodes. It's one of the first season episodes, so I've seen it three times now.
So the show opens up with two new titans, this gargantuan one and this armored one that they've never seen before, and they break the wall.
Yeah.
And
let all the little titans in.
And decimates the biggest area of the city, forcing everybody to go back into a lower area of the city as refugees, causing this shortage of supplies and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's not enough land to feed everyone. They even go into a little bit in one of the episodes, I think it was the second season, maybe a different season, I don't remember, of how they had to genocide some of the people.
Yeah, there was too many people, so they just couldn't feed them. They took like 80% of them or some crazy number. Covered it up by saying these are enlisted, or what is it, when you draft it into the military to go try and take back the wall, and all of them practically died.
Which could
also
be another reason as to why people hate the scouts, because they could have, they didn't really say it, but like the scouts are the only ones that do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but
so if they're in the military, they're in the scouts, they're doing that.
Yeah, it was all propaganda though.
Yeah, yeah, and they said that, like, the military had to keep a lid on it, otherwise humanity would have suffered greatly.
Revolted, yeah. So, I mean, you said you didn't know how to tackle this, so let's tackle it one season at a time.
Alright.
So the first season.
In the first episode, the wall gets broken by the Colossal Titan and the Armored Titan.
Uh-huh.
And the main characters are kids. The problem, I think they're like 10 or 12 or something like that. Because there's a 3 or 5 year time skip after the first couple episodes.
Yep.
And they're like upper teen time at that area. Well, they're essentially running away. The main character, what's his name?
I don't remember.
Mikasa's the girl. Aaron's the boy.
Oh, Aaron.
He sees his mom eaten by a titan.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad is off on work. And Mikasa is sort of like an adopted sister.
Yeah, because she was kidnapped and he...
Because she's part Asian and some people wanted to...
Yeah, because there's no different races anymore or anything like that.
So the very few there are, you know, some perverts out there want to buy him and...
Yeah, and then she was saved by Aaron, essentially.
Which was a cool little arc. Like, I remember first watching that little arc where they go to Mikasa's backstory, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this. Who gives a shit? And then, like, halfway through their episode, you see the guys come in and kill her father, and then start, like, you know, it just went really well. Like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was pretty dark.
Yeah, it was fairly dark.
The whole show's freaking dark.
Speaking of that, I really enjoy the dread they show in people's faces during certain times, because like they haven't seen these horrible things yet, and then they see someone being eaten, and the way they draw the dread and the horror, I really like that.
So they, in that backstory, they build up Aaron as this pretty deranged character, and Mikasa too. Mm. And then
they ended up killing the captors.
Yeah, but then throughout the rest of the show, Aaron's a crybaby.
Yeah, he's a bit of a crybaby. Which, you know what? It kind of makes sense when you have that much passion and anger inside you.
Yeah.
And you don't have a way to let it out, especially as a young kid.
But it's even doubly annoying when he switched from crybaby to overly angry. He has two modes, and it's so fucking annoying.
He sort of finds a little bit of, like, depressed peace towards the end.
Towards the end, but we're talking about the first season. Yeah. And then Mikasa... she's just overbearing as hell.
She just wants to protect him. And, like, there's a couple jokes in the first and second season, mainly the first, of, like, her protecting him a lot, and someone will walk by him and, like, Jesus Christ, relax, we know you're in love with him.
Right.
And she blushes a little bit, but that's it for their love story. Yeah. For the most part, she really just wants to protect him because he saved her.
And he doesn't seem to be interested in her.
Yeah,
in the
he doesn't
least.
Seem to even he recognize
even, he gets
a woman.
Pissed off when she helps him.
Which is fairly typical of an anime
male protagonist. I actually understand his point of view.
Yes,
because
he's not there to He's there to kill.
Not only that, but she is overbearing as hell, and it's like, I can do things on my own. Jesus Christ.
But childhood trauma. Yeah, Mom and dad were murdered in front of you, and this is the one person that was there to save you.
But the show defines these characters by those traits.
Yes, they are.
And they're nothing else, really.
Yeah, she's not much. Besides that, she's really, really good at fighting.
And I really did not like the first half of the season. First season.
Yeah, the second half was better.
The first half, it was just a giant monster slave fest. Mm-hmm. And training to kill giant monsters. And it was like, oh, this is going to be a long show for me.
There were some really cool moments, though. Like, after they're done training, they're all on top of one of the walls, just doing guard duty and, like, putting rations and stuff away. And then the lightning strikes. Because a lightning strikes whenever a human turns into a titan. You don't know that yet. You find that out later. And the Colossal Titan's just standing there.
Yeah,
so, like,
I mean,
there's some really cool, interesting moments like that I really enjoy.
There is some good storytelling in this, and there is some good character development in it.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't get me wrong, but at certain points in the show, it's like you come to realizations about things, about the structure of the show.
Yes.
Like, this show appears to be like a Game of Thrones show where anybody can die, but...
But not really.
Not really.
You probably figure that out into the second season.
Yes, and the second season, you know exactly...
Which ones are going
to
live.
Which ones are going to live, and who's there to just be father and just to show who the people getting killed. And that kind of took me out of it. It was just like...
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Once you figure out the formula, the show kind of falls apart. And it's really bad in the first season. And all the plot twists throughout the first season, I guessed. I was not surprised.
So, like, the big plot twist in the first season is who's the female titan.
Right.
But it's so easy to figure it out because the haircut's the same as the human form of her.
Well, even
it was just ridiculously easy to figure out.
It was definitely easy to figure out it was her, and then it was ridiculously not just because of the look, but because she was the only one that chose to not go as a scout. She was the only one still that was missing from that original group of cadets that went in there. And it's,
well, not the only one. There's one or two others. One of the guys went to the military police, and you don't see him again until the third season. He's just not fucking there.
I don't remember him.
I forget his name. He's part of the charge in the last season, and he, like, something hits him and takes his face off. We'll talk about it when we get to the third arc, but, well, he's part of that group.
Right.
What was I saying?
Right, but I did not like the predictability.
Very predictable, yes.
And I didn't like the giant monster slaying part of it, and the characters were very one-note kind of characters. It's like
Armin's the smart one, but he's always weak.
Yeah.
And now there is some development for some of these characters lay much, 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 much later on into the second or third
season. I don't understand.
But it's a very slow build.
I don't understand why the show was so popular when the first season came out. But then again, I do get it because of the killing factor and everything else and the giant creepy monsters.
It looks good.
I get why people see it, but it's not that great from a storytelling and technical standard.
What I think a lot of people enjoy from it is finding out people's motivations. So, like, you know Annie's the female titan, and you figure that out really early. Like, really fucking early. Now, the show doesn't tell you that until much later on, but you figure it out.
Yeah, but...
But what's her motivation for destroying
humanity? Yeah, but I get
That's what I think a lot of people enjoy.
But then, at the same time, now we're going through, 13 episodes of this supposed mystery that everyone else has figured out?
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on, just get to the point here. Mm-hmm. And it's...
Well, it's also 13 episodes that they're building towards that, but there's other things in between, like Aaron training in his Titan form and figuring out how to use it and all that.
Right,
but
yeah. I mean, there are other things
interesting that keep you wanting to watch it.
It got very shonen-y.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very shonen-y in the first season, and it was just like, it was really hard for me to get past it. I mean, the only thing that really kept me involved was the mysteries behind everything.
But people's motivations, figure out what they're doing.
But even then, I figured out the whole third season plot twist in the first season. And I was like, I already know where this is going. There was only two plot twists that I did not get.
Which ones?
I didn't actually get who the Armored Titan and the Colossus Titan was.
That reveal was one of my favorite reveals I've ever had.
That was
just so well done.
The second season's probably my favorite season because it's short, first of all. It's only 12 episodes. And it's just one straight storyline with the Colossal Titan and the Armored Titan and their motivations and the two girls. And you find out the one girl is actually the true heir, because you find out the king's a puppet king
and the merchants.
And then you find out she's a princess. And she's in charge, and then...
Krista. She's one of the scouts.
And then there's her girlfriend, because let's be real, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I
don't know if Krista necessarily wanted it to be a girlfriend, but
Ymir definitely
wanted it. You even find that out later on with the letter and all that.
But yeah, and we're skipping...
We didn't even stick.
We didn't stick to any of it, but I really did like the second season. There was a lot of...
I truly enjoyed that, too.
It was a lot of plot twists that I didn't get, and there was just solid storytelling, because it wasn't really focused on the inside of the city. It was more focused on the outside of the season.
Yeah, we're got a task. We got to figure this out or get this done.
And I actually wanted to watch it after that. Whereas the first season, I was kind of dragging, and then you find out at the end of the first season that there's titans in the walls, and I was like, okay, there's something there. Yeah,
after the credits, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
A piece of the wall just breaks off, and you see a titan face inside of it. That was pretty cool.
Right. So it was...
Which also doesn't make sense.
No.
Because it doesn't make sense at all.
No.
Because titans in the wall makes plenty of sense, but not the titan they showed you. They showed you a live titan.
Uh-huh.
Now, later on, you figure out that the wall's built with the armor ability, but the armor ability turns you to pretty much stone, crystallized type stone type thing, whatever it is. But the titan inside the wall they show you is not that. He doesn't have that crystallization on him. So what the fuck? That doesn't make any sense.
Unless they trapped them inside with the crystal.
Yeah, it just would have been better if they had explained that.
Well, the whole plot line where they're revealing all the secrets, none of it really makes any fucking sense.
What do you mean?
Like, the godlike figure that gets transported through...
The bloodline.
The bloodline of the king.
Every new person that becomes the head of the family and gets that power is overbeared by the original person that wanted to end war. So now, if they want to leave before they took over that power, if they want to pursue, you know, leaving the walls and everything, the second they take that power back, they don't want to do it anymore because their impression, their will was overpowered by his.
So, I mean, everything up until that point is explained by, like, scientific stuff, and then we go into...
Even then, it's a little bit explained because it's a certain Titan power that gets passed on. So if you're a Titan and you eat someone, you gain their power. So gaining that power now turns you into him, since it's that power.
I guess, but that's memories. The only thing that, the only time that happens, where it seemed like towards the end they were kind of hinting that powers can be transferred.
Yeah.
But that one's the only one that can. It's a little mystical jumper.
It can, but it can only be transferred inside the royal family.
Right. It's,
which is a weird one.
So, I don't know. It got a little convoluted towards...
Oh, you know what? That one and Aaron's ability. Although Aaron's ability to the coordination Titan ability.
Yeah, the coordinator.
He can use it, but he's not a royal bloodline, so he can't use it to its full effect. He has to touch
a royal
that's, I believe, either in Titan form. We don't know if he could do it while they're in human form.
Right.
And if he's touching them, then
he... Because he accidentally hit the Titan who ate his mother, who happened to be...
His father's original wife.
Right. And then there's this...
He's a royal bloodline.
Then there's this whole timeline, time travel thing.
Yeah, the timeline crap gets me a little bit. Like, I don't enjoy flashbacks a whole lot.
Like, when Aaron's father was taken up on the wall, he was like, and this guy helped him, the guard. He says his name is Aaron Jaeger, and he had memories of Mikasa and...
I'm assuming that'll be explained in the third season.
You mean the fourth season?
Fourth, yeah, that's what I
because
meant.
Because it's like, okay, now we have time travel here.
A generation in the future.
Yeah, so he's like...
Which kind of could make sense with the whole generational Titan ability thing that's trying to portray.
He's not even connected.
I just don't enjoy the telling the future type
thing. He can't even connect... He's not even... That guard is not even connected bloodline-wise to Aaron.
No, but Aaron... Maybe when Aaron touched him. No, what do you mean?
No, the guard.
Yeah, yeah. The guard that found him.
And the father's flashback.
Yeah.
The traitor. He said his name's Aaron Jaeger, and he tells Aaron's father to go save Mikasa and...
Oh, yeah. Aaron,
and he was like, who are they? He's like, I don't know. They're just in my memory. He's implying that he's Aaron Jaeger.
He had the coordination ability because Aaron ate his father. That's how Aaron got it. His father turned him into a Titan and then he ate his father.
Yeah, no, I got it. And he ate that guy. That makes sense. But for that guy to have those memories...
Future memories. Memories that haven't happened yet.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I'm assuming it'll be explained in the fourth season.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it does. From this point, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
It's like the timelines... Now you're throwing time travel at me, and it's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, the same thing happened to me when I saw that. I'm like, what? Like, they should have explained that in the third season, if you're going to show that.
Right.
Just confusing people.
So, yeah.
But back to this, before we go any farther, the reveal of who the Colossal Titan and the Armored Titan is.
In the second season.
Oh, yeah.
It was
so good.
It was good.
They're all just packing up and leaving, and...
Even before that, though. Oh, I like the reveal where they're up on the tower. And they're being surrounded by these
Titans. And it wasn't the main characters, the side characters.
It's a bunch of supporting characters, which I really like, because there's a slew of episodes that everyone's not even in.
Which is nice.
Which is really nice.
At first, again, same with the Mikasa thing, you're like, oh, it's going to be a slow, crappy episode, but then it builds up and you really start to like it.
Right. And so they're surrounded in this castle, and before we even find out about the Colossal Titan or the Armored Titan, Ymir slices her hand, and she's a freaking Titan.
They're all about to die. She turns into a Titan.
And she's like, and then that happens, and it's like, oh, everything seems to be picking up here. Mm-hmm. And then she ends up joining with them.
Yeah.
Towards the end of it.
Regrettably.
I guess she's dead now, but...
Yeah,
They implied that.
They implied that she's dead. They didn't actually show it, but she knew that because she betrayed them and went back and forth too much, the leader was going
to
kill him.
Anyway, you can go to your reveal now.
Oh, so yeah, so like, after that whole thing with the castle, they meet up with Aaron and all them, because they went to go save them. And they're sitting on the wall, and I think it's like morning or something like that, and everyone's packing up to leave, and everyone's walking by, and then the Colossal Titan and the Armored Titan, I forget their human names.
Yeah, me too.
Bertolt and Rhino.
There you go.
They're just, like, everyone's walking away, and the scene's done so well, because you're not focusing on them, you're focusing on everyone leaving, because they're talking, they're having their own conversations, and then just out of nowhere, Bertolt and Rhino go, yeah, I'm the Armored Titan, he's the Colossal Titan, we need to leave, let's go talk. And Aaron's like, what? Just really well done. I loved it.
Well,
just out of left field. Didn't expect it.
Well, it was explained that they had figured out that they were...
Yes.
Strong suspicion that Aaron was giving them a chance to prove that they weren't, and they were like, no, this is who we
are. They explained that throughout the episode after that moment, so you didn't know.
So, and one of them, I forget which one it is, the blonde hair one.
Bert Rhino.
He's kind of insane. He's like, He thinks he's
his memory's f***ed.
His memory is all f***ed up.
Personality's jacked.
Because he literally at sometimes thinks he is a soldier, and he is.
And he's one of them and the brothers.
Yeah. And then he slips in and out of it, and then and Bertol's like in his right mind, and he's like, "This is not good." And it's like he
falls in love with Krista, and he's at there's certain points where he's like, "Yeah,
Reina does.
We could marry." Oh, Reina, yeah. So he's like, "Yeah, we should get married. You think that could happen?" And Aaron's like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
And then,
like, you're an enemy.
And then his partner, Bertol, is just like, he's very quiet because he has no idea what to do with this guy.
He knows he's fucked in the head, but
he's still has a super loyal. And what's even better about this reveal and everything else is that these two were like the big brothers of the group throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, everyone looks at them. Everyone
looks at them for leadership. They helped them and everything else. And Reina.
His memory's so jacked that there was a point in that little fort castle where they were being attacked by Titans where there was like a 3 or 4 meter Titan that bit his arm. And then they killed him, right? They pushed him out the window and he died. But then he's like talking to them like, oh man, I really thought that was it. Yeah. I really thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die here. And you, in the background, you can see the other one, Bertolt Ryan. I can't remember their different names. It's just kind of looking at him like, what? You wouldn't have died. And you know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't have happened. You would have just turned into a Titan.
I mean, even in the first season, though, they're planting seeds with this because when the female Titan was killing essentially all the scouts, she encountered Reina, Aaron, and one other guy. And she kind of grabbed Reina and crushed him. And you thought he was dead there. And then he just explodes out of his hand. It's like, this guy is actually kind of badass for some reason. And even an Aaron was even like saying, man, I forgot how badass he actually was. Mm-hmm. So it was,
sort of forget because he's just dependable guy.
And then you realize later that he was actually in that grass so they can pass along information.
Yes. Yeah. There's a couple things like that that are dumped throughout.
Right. And like, there was a death really early in the season, one of their
Marco's
death, which
so in the show you just come across him.
Yeah, he's just dead. No one saw him die.
Was it Bertolt or Reina? It was the armored Titan that came across him and saw it. And this goes to him being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how he died. He's like, oh, I can't. How'd you die? What happened?
Yeah,
I'll never
know. No. It wasn't Bertolt that came across him. It was what was his name? The jackass who really came into his own as a cadet who didn't want to be a cadet at the beginning.
Okay. I know who you're talking about.
I think his name, I want to say Jean, but I don't think was it Jean?
Yeah, I think it was Jean.
Jean. Well, anyway, he was joining, he was trying to become a military police and throughout bonding
and Aaron speeches
and stuff, he actually ended up
doing the scouts.
He's still a dick throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
But he's actually one of the strongest characters in the, not as far as strength,
yeah,
but
not like
as
Mikasa strong, but still there, still gets shit done.
What I mean is one of the strongestly built personalities. Mm-hmm. Story-wise, he's one of the strongest characters in it. And he comes across Marco, who was his best friend, and he was like it was like, well, who did this to you? And he come to find out it was
Bertolt, Reina,
and he was the female Titan. Mm-hmm. Who could, like, Bertolt, and because of Rhino's crazy, he was like, he accidentally reveals himself to not because he was talking to Bertolt on the roof and accidentally
Marco, he revealed it to Marco, who just
happened to be there, and he was like, what? And then they fed him to a Titan. And then, as they're watching him die, Ryan is like, why is Marco dying in his...
And another subplot, they took Marco's gear off, and that's how they killed two of the capture Titans.
Yeah, and took his gear, and that's why his gear was missing. So it was all laid out right in the beginning, which I really appreciated, story-wise. Nice. So she took his thing, and so that...
For like a season and a half, 2 seasons, we knew that these two Titans that were captured had died, and we didn't know who did it.
Right, and she got away with it because she had someone else's gear, and it wasn't used on it.
And on inspection, her gear wasn't used.
Yeah, it was Marco's gear. So that second season and all those plot reveals were really, really strong.
Yeah.
And I really liked it, which was better, which really kept me involved in it rather than the first season where it was like, okay, we're going to, now they got to fight the Titan, even though they know who she is, and then they end up winning at the end. It was really shown in either first season.
Well, the one thing that disappointed me a lot is once they captured Annie, that was it. She never came up again. Now, I'm assuming she'll come up in the fourth season.
Well, because she's frozen right now.
Yeah, so they captured her, and then she crystallized her body into the, you know, the armor Titan ability thing. So, like, but, like, it's just done. They have not come back to it at all.
So, Bertolt, the Colossus of the Titans, actually is in love with Annie. And that was a big thing. They tried to get him to lose his temper and stuff.
Yeah, it worked one time, didn't work the second time.
Right. So then we go into the third season. And I really like the first half of the third season because they're not fighting Titans, they're fighting humans.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So, and it really became like
new ODM gear. The ODM gear is how they fly around.
Right, and they're using guns on them instead of swords. And it's designed to kill humans. And I really like the dynamic there and between the humans and everything else. Because it got really...
And that went into Levi's backstory, who's like the super high class lieutenant of the scouts.
The unkillable Levi. Because, you know, everyone's... the ultimate, he had a main character, plot armor. He had...
Even though he's not a main character.
He had plot armor, yeah.
But I'm assuming a lot of these characters, I'm hoping a lot of these characters are built up for the four seasons.
Right. The only way a main characters die is if they're building it up beforehand to give them an epic death, like the captain throughout the whole...
Oh, that was awesome, though. I loved him dying.
Yeah, him...
Though him being injured in all the two different ways that he was injured, and then him actually dying and not being saved was cool and interesting.
I hated it a little bit.
Yeah?
Because he died... His death scene was good because he took a bunch of recruits, like new recruits.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes. Yeah. And convinced them literally just go and die.
And I didn't mind that part.
No, that was great. I love that.
They charged that, but now he's dying and...
He's already had an arm been chopped off a couple episodes earlier.
So he's
got this hole in his gut and his literal guts are spilling out of him.
So he's not dead yet. And then Armin takes out the colossal giant or does...
He distracts the colossal giant makes him weaken himself.
So that Aaron can kill him.
In so doing, he's got deep third, fourth degree burns.
Yeah, he's almost dead. So now they have to choose between if they're
going to give it to
who they're going to save.
Armin
because he has plot armor too.
Yeah.
It was just a convoluted like choice.
I really enjoyed the captain. What's his name? Erwin. I wish he had lived.
I mean, but and the characters were making good points. Why are we saving Armin? He's super smart and he's technical.
Armin doesn't have the hard choice inside him, except for the one time where he killed himself. You know. Right. To save everyone. But besides that, he has never shown that he can do that kind of thing. And whereas the captain, Erwin, does.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not a genius.
He also says they all show a lot of times that he's selfish and his reasoning and everything else. Mm-hmm. But still, he's like the hope of the entire city.
He is, but they also showed quite a few times beforehand that he trusts Armin.
Yeah, but that doesn't make him a good replacement for him.
No, he's not the replacement. He's not the captain.
Yeah, I know that.
I see what you're saying. I can understand why Levi made that choice in that moment.
I know. I
probably wouldn't.
I get the reason behind it. Levi wanted him to have his death. And that's a fine, that's a full story. I just didn't like that they put Armin in there to make a false choice to force emotion on the people at home. And he wasn't going to die.
I didn't know that.
I did. I was like, there was no way they were going to choose the captain. He did this epic death over here. And then Armin, of course he's going to survive because he's one of the three main characters.
If Erwin had lived, I think that would have been fine if they had given it to him instead. But since they didn't, I think could agree on this. I'd rather the choice not have been there, and I'd rather him had just died in the charge.
Me too. And honestly, it would have been an even more impactful and devastating
moment. That's a pretty just way to die.
It would have been more impactful and devastating moment if Armin had died there, dying to sacrifice to save his friend, forcing them all to go on with him,
because
he's a big part of the show, forcing them to kind of do it without depending on his mind.
That being said, in the fourth season, there's going to be a war between their nation inside the walls and the people like from the outer nation, so they're going to need Armin for that.
Yeah,
that wasn't a reason for the decision. If it was, that would have made more sense.
That would have made more sense, but they didn't even know about it at the time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't a reason for it, but if one of them knew, if Levi had information that the others didn't get and he knew it, I could have seen that would have been a
maybe the military experience would have, the tactical mind would have made sense, but at this time, they think this is it. They think they're taking back the wall and killing the Titans.
And that's it. That's all they have to do, just get in the basement.
Then
they
all go home. So it's just a false choice, and I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I agree. But it was a cool fucking scene to see Armin just be blasted to death with steam.
I agree. It was awesome. Good. Both deaths were good. Yeah. And if they would have stuck to one of them without the choice, or even had both of them die, not have that stupid, we have this rejuvenation thing that can bring one person back so we can actually kill one of our characters off here.
Oh, they have to eat. Because with the injection, you just turn into a mindless Titan, so you have to eat someone with a Titan power.
All right.
So he ate the Colossal Titan and became him.
They cut off the Colossal Titans. They turn them back. they get him out of the Class of Titans shell, essentially.
And they keep him from transforming, and he has to have a severe wound. Yeah. So if you cut a limb off, your body's focused on healing that limb and regrowing it, so it won't let you transform.
Right. So and they cut off his arms and his legs, and then they feed him to Armin.
Yeah,
it was a good moment there. It's just, I didn't like how it played out.
I agree. They could have done that one better. And then after that, they go into the basement, which is, we're in the third season, like late right. third season, like 18 or 19th episode. And up until then, that's pretty much been the main objective, right. Getting to this f***ing basement. But it took a while.
Before that, let's back up a little bit. So the scouts in the third season are going out to take back the wall because they think Aaron figured out how to...
Uses armor ability. Sort of shoot out armor.
Right. And there's this ape titan.
Yeah, yeah.
Beast
titan is what they call
Beast titan is...
Just a giant monkey of an ape.
Is Aaron's brother.
Yeah, yeah. They don't say it, but clearly.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You figure it out because Aaron's little brother from outside the wall that Aaron doesn't know about, Dadhead, has a beast titan doll.
Well, not only that, they explain it in the flashback.
Yeah, they explain... Well, it's in the flashback.
Right. It's all in the flashback of the dad's backstory, of Aaron's dad's backstory, where he had another kid, another family, and blah, blah, blah. Just watch it. I don't want to sit here and for 20 minutes explaining the entire...
The backstory was fairly interesting once you got in it.
Yeah, but it was intricate.
And it was a gigantic, like you were saying, expedition dump.
Yeah, it was four episodes, I think.
Three or four.
It was...
Of just, this is what's happening. And there was a couple scenes where they would go back to Aaron and them.
Right.
But for the most part, each episode consisted of...
But anyway, the third season was pretty much them taking back the walls, and they killed the Colossal Titan. The Ape Titan got away, and the
wounded,
armor...
though. Levi f***ed him up.
Levi really f***ed him up.
Oh, that was great.
And then Aaron, they all actually f***ed up the Armor Titan, who ended up getting away.
A couple times.
Yeah. So Ryan is still alive, which I think is going to be play a big part in maybe switching sides.
I think
sides.
Annie's going to be a big thing. I think they're going to, this is my prediction, I think they're going to wake her up, and I think they're going to convince her to join them.
And I wonder if Ymir's still alive. She probably will show up to maybe come to the rescue at the end or something like that.
Either she's not dead, or the power was clearly transferred to someone.
Right.
So she will be used again at some point.
So the big reveal is there are more humans in the world.
Yes. The big reveal is they're a tiny nation, the wall, inside the wall, on a little island off the coast.
They're in Japan.
Yeah, pretty much. Off the coast of an actual ginormous continent.
Which is like China. And
The islands look different, but yeah.
It's pretty much what it was, though.
No, I mean, Japan is long and skinny, and the island with the wall
is short.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying, the placement between
land, the way it's right off the coast,
and everything else, it was clearly a Japan-Asia kind
of
thing.
Not only are they, you know, there's humans out there, but it's like in World War II type, wearing the Star of David on you.
Whereas, and behind the walls, it's like 1764, and there it's like 1942.
And all, like, there's these repressed people called something, I can't remember.
Well, they have Titan blood in them, and...
Yeah, so they can turn into a Titan, potentially.
So, the technologically advanced developed Assyrian that can turn these people into Titan, and when they do...
It's a certain race of people.
Yeah, they kick them into the island of Titans.
Well, they do that to people that,
That betrayed
them in some way.
But I wasn't sure, are there not Titans on the mainland?
Everyone that's not that race.
Yeah, but are there, like, Titans run?
No, I don't think so. Maybe they don't tell you. I would assume once every now and then would pop up or something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because like there's this wall at their coast, and they turn them into Titans and kick them off the wall. And then those Titans have to go to the beach, through the desert, get to the beach, go through the water, get to that other island continent type thing where the walls are. Well, I'm assuming some of them don't actually do that and just turn around and get over the wall or get around the wall somehow.
So here's what I understand about the technological advance thing, right? They want to take the island for their resources. Right?
Yeah, there's oil and stuff on it. They don't really tell you what kind of resources.
They want the resources. Yeah. So they want to get rid of
it.
They want to get rid of all the people there. They have airships. Why don't we just fucking bomb them?
Because the airships are still really new. So they're getting there.
They're
getting to that point.
The flashback was when the dad was a kid.
Yeah.
That was like 30 years.
Well, it depends on the rate of progression of technology and everything.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure they can figure out how to get the airship over the little bit of land that's...
Well, there's that, and having the Heisenberg and having the atom bomb are two different things. You know what I mean? It could have taken them longer to get those big bad bombs.
All right. So drive your blimp over, take your guns, and start shooting down. It can't reach you.
Well, actually, they figure out that they can because they have the ODM gear.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't know that.
Well, they figure that out in the second season.
Still, but they don't know that at the time. They've had airships for at least 2 decades at this point.
So it seems to be that the Beast Titans is working with them, and his objective is to get the to cripple the Titans and their ability to coordinate and everything like that.
I gotcha.
Because it seems like his objective is to take Aaron back.
I understand all of that. It's just, you can skip all that middle process and get in your blimps, go over and just go.
I mean, there's still millions of people there, you know? Even if you have 30 airships, that would take decades.
Some of these decades.
Or you can just advance technology and do it then.
I'm saying.
That's working. I'm just saying. Bombs, and then go do it.
I'm just saying. From 1980 to 2019, the technology has advanced by leaps and bounds.
It has.
So,
but it didn't in 1920 to 1940. It didn't. Guns got incrementally better. Tanks got incrementally better. Planes got incrementally better.
I'm just saying, it is a possible technological leap.
Sure it is. But they didn't get that.
But even
but they didn't get that possible technology leap.
Even then, you said incremental. So those airships should be incrementally better.
Yeah, airships aren't really good for battle. I mean, if you just cut them, they start to fall down. If you set them on fire, they fall, you know what I mean? It's not really, airships aren't really good for
fighting. All I'm saying is that they have guns and these guys have spears.
Yeah, but one spear, one flaming spear.
There's no way they're throwing it 400
and, feet. They also don't know what they have. That's a very clear distinction they make when they find out about the ODM gear, the Beast Titan finds out. They had no idea what kind of technology they had. They're separated. So you find out that the royal family and the military police and all them are suppressing technology because they don't want people to find out these things. They don't want them to go outside the wall. They want them to be afraid of the Titans. So while their technology is being suppressed, the other one, the people outside, don't know what technology they have. They have no idea. They don't know if they have guns. They don't know if they have ships. So
how do they not know?
Military.
How do they not know? When they literally...
they haven't been going there.
But they went there earlier for like 20 years ago, and they kind of drive their little boats over and kick people into the pit. So they
know. Yeah, but they stay far away. That's the only place they go. They don't go to the wall.
But they know still that miles, they know they don't have ships because there's no dock
on that part of the island.
So
it's ships on the
take
other
your
part.
Boat.
They could have airships.
Take your boat and go around the island.
But they didn't. They would rather build their military up and go all at once.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense to you. It makes sense to everyone else.
No, it
anyway,
doesn't. That makes no sense.
It does. You just don't agree with them. It does. You just don't agree with it.
No.
They didn't know what kind of technology they had. So build up your army and then go fight them.
They've been building up their army, though. They have a military army.
They didn't feel like it was strong enough.
I don't think
like it is?
I think it's lazy writing. That's
fine.
What I think it is.
Anyway. So, yeah, that's it.
Oh, and I called that, by the way, that there's more humans and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I figured there's more humans.
And that...
Didn't know exactly how it was going to play out. Yeah. It's interesting to see that they're repressed. You know
right.
what I mean?
There's
you go outside, you literally have to put that star on your arm.
And I didn't really like the fact that, you know, the last episode, they come across one Titan, because they essentially kill every Titan on the island.
Yeah, it seems like that.
And then they come up, and Aaron realizes...
Well, what it also seems like, at least to me, is that because the military's coming, they probably stopped sending Titans.
Possibly.
For whatever reason.
And then,
probably because they don't want to fight Titans when they
get But now Aaron recognizes the Titans as comrades after he's, like, murdered 30,000 of them and had his whole life was based on revenge and killing them all.
His hair grew out and he's more depressed but still angry.
It's just
he
like...
He knows he only has 5 or 8 years left to live because once you get a Titan power, you have 13 years to live.
The worst character development in this show. And it's so bad. And poor Mikasa doesn't get any character development.
She doesn't. She gets zero.
She's just the same throughout everything. All the side characters get really good plot development.
Even Armin got some, at least.
Yeah, but the main characters got so shafted, and it's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Alright, we've been talking about this for 43 minutes.
It's got its faults. I really enjoyed it, and especially after the first season, I want to watch every episode. I want to click on the next one. I want to click on the next
I know
one.
The fourth season's coming out soon.
Yes. Next year. Next year, fall or summer, something like that.
And I do want to watch it.
So. Yeah, definitely. I want to see the end of the story. I like seeing people's motivations and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it a lot. Solid 7.
That's what I was going to go with, a 7. I thought you were going 8.
Nah. It's got more issues than 91 Days had, for sure. But I think that also happens when you start having big seasons.
But I definitely think this is better than 91 Days.
I don't know.
Really? Mm-hmm. Huh. That's interesting.
And there's very few times I like very short stories. Usually I like big overarching. I want more. But 91 Days just did it for me.
Okay.
And I enjoy this a lot.
All right. So, not yet.
Oh, what was before?
Excel World and Azumanga.com.
Oh, f***ing Attack on Titan. Jesus Christ. I mean, Excel World wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. No. It was as average as it could get. This is what my remembering of it is.
Right, no, it wasn't terrible.
Zoo Manga Daioh, though.
Yeah, actually, we weren't hard on that one at all. We were like...
I think we might have graded it for what it was.
Yeah, we were like, this is not for us, but it wasn't bad for what it was. So, for a girl's anime, little girl's anime, this was actually pretty decent. So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I'd rather watch Attack on Titan and Excel World over that again, but it wasn't...
I'll tell you what, though, I'll probably never watch any of them again, but specifically Attack on Titan because of how much there is to watch.
Right, but... You know what I mean? If you had to watch again...
If I had to, I'd enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what...
The first season, I might fall asleep. You know what I mean? Like, if it's...
I was like, oh, the first three episodes. I was like, come on.
Yeah, they're very slow, for sure. All right.
We're gonna spin for B.
Spin for B. Bodacious Space Pirates. Give it to me.
Bikini Warriors. Wow, so many. Are you
f***ing...
I was about to say...
God,
Battle Fan.
As it's spinning, the text is really small because there's so many of I thought it said Battle Fury.
It's Battle Fairy. And almost... Battle Fairy. There's like 100 anime in here for B, and it almost landed on my choice.
It was really close. I was about to be really f***ing angry.
Battle Fairy. This one should be interesting. It's only 13 episodes. Karuru, Chiri, Sarara, and Hororo are four little fairies that live inside bottles on their sensei's desk. Together, they have misadventures trying to understand the human world, seeking advice from totally misinformed grade schooler next door.
Comedy Magical Girl. We got ourselves a magical girl anime.
It's only 13 episodes, though.
Bitch, I really hope they're small, too, like 10-minute episodes. F*** me, I would love that. 12-minute episodes, I'll take it. I'll take it. That's a win.
All right.
Not excited for this one.
No, not at all. But all right, that's the nature of the show, though. We're not f***ing around with the wheel.
91 Days was a great pick compared to this one, for sure.
We're not and the last 2 weeks was our choices, because I think I got the choice for it.
Did you?
Yeah, I got...
Okay. Oh, yeah, right.
And you got a pick, so we actually ended up choosing the animes. So, I mean, but we're not f***ing around with this wheel. If it comes up something, we're watching it. So.
Next week, Bottle Fairy.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be one of the more popular downloads because of Tamari Princess is still our highest downloaded episode ever. So, until then, bye.
See ya.